You're listening to Thunder Quack Podcast Network.
I allow the children to travel with you because I assume you're keeping them safe.
Ach, jings! Launchpad! Give the old bird a tour of the old bird to show her there's nothing to worry about. I'll take the wheel stick thingy.
Sorry, when did you learn to fly a massive cargo plane?
Please, I'm Scrooge McDuck. If Launchpad can do it,
how hard can it be?
Not very.
Hello and welcome back to Cartoon Afternoon for DuckTales, Season 1, Episode 22, The Last Crash of the Sun Chaser. I am one of your hosts, Curtis Findlay.
I am your other host, Michael Cohen, and with this one, we're gonna be caught up.
Yes, as long as I can edit them and get them to you to release them before Saturday.
Before Saturday, yeah. I believe in you. I believe in you.
Okay, good. Well, and it's a good thing we're caught up because yeah. I am so glad we're going to be on board for the season finale with everybody else, because based on the last episode and this episode, mm-hmm. And maybe even the one before that, like, we've had some really, really good episodes all in a row leading up to what's probably, hopefully, going to be the best of the season.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah, very interesting where our heroes are left at the end of this one.
Yeah.
It's
a cliffhanger.
I'm very happy that the Spear of Selene story was wrapped up in this episode so that the next episode can be about Magicka. And that's, we talked about that a couple weeks ago, the idea that it would be, sort of like that everything's coming to a head, but not necessarily connected. And, it's great because one storyline came to its climax in this episode and is setting up a scenario where Scrooge is going to be very vulnerable for the season finale.
Exactly.
And that, to me, like, that's great storytelling, where it's like, okay, these are two unconnected things, but because one happens, now it's easier for Magicka to take advantage of Scrooge and get the number one dime. And
they still can be connected, though.
They can still be, yeah, they can definitely still be connected, because there's a, I don't want to get into too much speculation because we'll talk about it towards the end, but but Della could still be out there somewhere.
Yes.
Right. Of course. So it's kind of, it is a big question mark.
Yeah. We know that she is. She's got to be.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, then I guess maybe we should just jump into things here.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, our episode description for this week is stuck on a precarious peak. The kids secretly search the plane for the final clue about Della's mysterious disappearance. And this one's from August 11th, 2018, writer Francisco Engonez, and directed by John Aoshima. And I have to say that every episode that is directed by John Aoshima, I've liked.
Mm.
I think they stick him on the kind of the tentpole episodes in the season.
Yeah, and obviously Francisco Engonez writing the episode means that it's an important one.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, where this one goes, I mean, it starts off really great with some good jokes. One of my favorite extended gags, it's not one of my top three moments, but this is one of my favorite extended gags of the season. That, you know, they're all fussing about about getting into the Jeep and getting ready to go on. It seems like they're going on a road trip, and Launchpad like loads everything into the Jeep, and it's so tight that it breaks the back window. And then they all get into the car and drive into the Sun Chaser. Okay, all right, fine, whatever. It was a really good payoff to something that didn't really seem like a joke. It just seemed like the beginning of the episode. But yeah, I'll start with this is another standout joke, especially in this episode. It's really good, and this episode has a lot of really great moments. But
I had a hard time picking, and the ones that I did pick aren't really even moments per se. But we'll get into that.
Yeah, Scrooge is taking over flying. And he says, if Launchpad can do it, how hard can it be? And then Launchpad pipes in, not very. I love his non-technical. It's all just all throughout the episode where like Launchpad is, he is the we've had episodes this season about Launchpad being the right guy for the job. And like, he's like an idiot savant. Any crash you can walk away from and all that sort of thing. And in this episode, we get to see him in his element and just how out of his element he is while being completely in his element. Is a great pilot, but he doesn't know the first thing about flying. And I think that that is like, it's such a great antithesis. They just did such a great job with that character where he's just totally clueless. Yet, for some reason, he just has like this extra sense that allows him to successfully pilot, and the payoff at the end of the episode is so good.
It's been a slow reveal about how much he actually doesn't know about flying throughout the entire season. Because if you remember the first episode, the first thing we learn about Launchpad is he pops his head in the door and says, "I'm a pilot."
Yeah.
And says that several times throughout the episode, so we believe that he is. And then slowly we realize that he's not that great.
And doesn't have a driver's license.
There's that episode. And then like a couple episodes ago, the Sky Pirates one, we learned that all of his instrument panels are stickers or ant houses or ant farms. It's like, no, it's getting
when you're an adult, they're called decals.
Yeah, exactly. I love that we've gotten to this point where it's just ridiculous. I also really like one of my favorite moments here is when Scrooge crashes the plane on the top of that mountain, and the Launchpad's like, if we've crashed, then why are we still in the air? And then the clouds part to reveal that they're just stuck on this teeny tiny peak. He's like, that's not even a real crash. Because something that I found that he hasn't been doing for this entire season is he hasn't been proud of crashing. He's crashed, and he knows he's crashed. But in this episode, it's like this is an important thing for him to be able to, you know, boast about the way he crashes things. And that's something that he did in the old DuckTales.
Yeah.
And something that I haven't really seen him do through this season. He's just kind of been clueless, and that's why he crashes.
Yeah.
But hasn't ever been totally proud of it like he was in this episode. So I was happy to see that.
Yeah, it's great at the end of the episode when he is disappointed and then happy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's perfect.
Yeah, sorry. So that was your first top moment, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then so my next one is when I everything's gone down and Miss Beakley and Scrooge are continuing to argue as they have been throughout the entire episode, and it's your fault, and then Louis goes, no, it was you. And everybody looks at him. He's like, sorry, I just thought I could keep the blame circle going. Just a great Louis moment. Louis has some really good moments. Actually, all three of the triplets have really great moments in this episode. Just sort of how all three of them are dealing with some of these revelations and the stress of trying to figure out and solve this mystery and all that sort of thing. And they mm-hmm. just kind of they have different ways of processing, but everybody kind of comes together towards the end of the episode, which is it's heartbreaking. Oh man, as much as last week with the or last episode with the secrets of Castle McDuck, we got that great scene with the boys that really had that heart-wrenching moment with Louis. The first when everybody turns on Scrooge, and then when we find out the truth, the real truth, afterwards, like at the very end of the episode, it's mm-hmm. that is a moment. But I'll let you talk about that stuff.
Okay, yeah, because one of my top moments is the end, and how can it not be? It's just what an ending, because they haven't done anything like this in this entire season. Mm-hmm. Just the stakes, the emotion, the fact that it's a cliffhanger. They don't resolve or make up or anything at the end. Everyone just leaves, and then we get this flashback sequence, mm-hmm. Which is just brilliant. Just some still images and such of the fact that Scrooge actually has spent a lot of his resources trying to look for their mom, and they didn't even give him a chance to explain it.
You discover that everything that they said about all of the things that they were saying that were hurtful of the, like, I bet you didn't even, like, you just gave up on her. You didn't even look. You could have built more spaceships. You could have sent people out to look, and but no, cheap Scrooge doesn't want to touch a single coin in his money bin. And then what we see is that's exactly what he did.
Not just a single coin. Like, it was most of, like, he practically emptied his bin there.
Yeah.
And then at the very end, he remembers one of them saying, are you happy about this? I hope this makes you happy. And he, through his teeth, says, I am. Mm-hmm. And I love how this brings this whole season full circle, so that Scrooge is now back to where he was at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
Grumpy in his mansion, not wanting to talk to anybody because of the results of everything that happened with Della. So it's just a really good moment. So great.
Yeah.
And when I was watching this with my boys, this whole episode was fantastic to watch with them, because the whole time the ship teeters back and forth the entire episode, mm-hmm. and they're on the edge of the seat thinking this is going to be the one that crashes the plane.
Yeah.
It was great watching them. And then that ending, it punched them in the gut, both of them. It was like they couldn't believe what they just saw, and it was wonderful.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, and the moment when Scrooge is sitting in his chair and he's just like seething with anger, that it was just such a great touch to the animation to have him just like that heavy breathing, and you just get that sense that he's like, you see where the temper that Donald has comes from, right? Like, you can see that connection there.
It's all throughout their family history.
And we saw bits and pieces of that in the previous episode, but it was played for comedy. But here it is, like, this is real. This isn't a squabble. This isn't some disagreement or something like that. Like, this is, he is really genuinely hurt by everyone, and I think that, like, Beakley especially really hurts him. And that moment when they're leaving, and then you see that Duxworth is leaving as well. Yeah, and he's a ghost. He doesn't really have to go anywhere, but even he is going. Scrooge is unlike before. So it's very similar. He is emotionally, I think, in a very similar place, but he's even lower than before.
Right. Yeah. Because he had Beakley at least there before.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's really in, like I said earlier, he's in a very vulnerable place. He's probably in a very desperate place. And so I think in the next episode, he's probably going to make some bad decisions, and that's going to result in whatever scenario leads to Magica coming back, because I imagine that's what we're in for.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, so I'll finish off my top moments with the cosmic storm itself. When we're kind of jumping back a little bit, but when Scrooge is actually recounting the story, and I just love the connections. And I'm sure that we'll probably talk about it in the behind the scenes and Easter eggs, but the cosmic storm aspect of it, I think, is really interesting, because that's actually a term out of Marvel Comics. Yeah. The cosmic storm is what gives the Fantastic Four their powers. And then that animation, and seeing Della flying through the cosmic storm, I just thought they did a great job with it, and I really enjoyed it. And it also just came out of nowhere. And once it's revealed that the Spear of Selene was a ship, you have that moment of like, oh, I didn't even think that it could be something other than an actual spear.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's just, well, yeah, because such a great mystery in that respect. Such a great twist.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and we've been building up this whole this whole season, and yeah. That whole episode, the whole Greek episode on the Isle of Ithaquak was a complete waste of time and a big red herring.
A big red herring.
And so this is my last moment, is my final of the top three as well, is just the fact that it's outer space.
Yeah,
like we haven't explored this side of DuckTales at all. It's been, sure, there's been some science fiction in, like, there's giant robots that are out to kill you or whatever, but we haven't had this science fiction aspect of DuckTales yet. They go into space in the old show and in the comics all the time, but this show has been very fantasy based for the most part.
Yeah.
I'm just looking forward to next season when they go to outer space. I think it'll be great. And like you said, the big reveal was great. I wasn't disappointed that it was out of left field. It made me very excited. So,
yeah, it was great. Yeah. Cool. I guess just wanted to touch on some of the moments with Dewey in particular, because I thought that was really interesting. How desperate they made him as compared to the others, because the boy, like Louis and Huey, were not as, obviously everybody wanted to solve the mystery, but they weren't willing to go as far as he was. And
well, yeah, that makes sense though, because this is his story.
Yeah,
this is his arc coming to a conclusion here as well.
Yeah, he's been doing this basically since the beginning of the season, right? So, I thought that was really interesting that they decided to really single him out and make it, like you said, it's his story. And he still, even though everybody else got brought in on it in the last episode, he still owns it. It's still really about him and.
They pitch in and help.
They do,
it's
yeah.
It's not like he's doing it all by himself. The others are just helping from afar, but they're still helping him.
But like the desperation of it, right? When everything seems to be going wrong and it's getting more and more dangerous, Dewey loses sight of everything, really, honestly. I mean, like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of Scrooge's gold fever in the original series, when he just he can't control himself, he just has to get the gold, right? And it's very similar to that, where Dewey just, like, he doesn't care that he could die. He could fall off the plane, the wing of the plane, or he gets on the propeller.
Yeah, to, yeah.
And it's like he really goes...
No regard for his own safety.
Yeah, to the extreme. And it's actually, like, it is very stressful. It's a very stressful episode to watch. I quite enjoy rewatching most of the episodes of this series. I don't think I'll want to rewatch this episode, not because it's not phenomenal, because I do think it's a great episode, but just because the emotional turmoil of it is a lot. Like, there's some heavy lifting in this one, and I always have a hard time with storylines with our heroes that put them in a position that you don't want them to be in. I always go to Revenge of the Sith is one of those things. When you're watching Episode 3, Star Wars, and Anakin starts to turn, it doesn't matter how many times I've seen that movie, and I know where it's going. I mean, like, you can't have the original trilogy without Darth Vader. And yet, every single time I watch it, and he gets to the point where he has to make the choice, I just pray that it's gonna go differently this time. You know what I mean? Like, every single time. And this is one of those types of stories where I'm looking at it and going, like this is this, like between the losing the puzzle piece at the beginning of the episode, and then trying to get it back throughout the episode, and Scrooge making mistakes early on with the Sun Chaser and Launchpad walking away from the controls and all that sort of stuff, and then I right at the end when they're all tearing Scrooge apart and he just keeps his mouth shut, and now knowing the truth, now knowing what actually happened, you want him to retroactively go back and for them to give him a chance.
Yeah.
And for him to explain himself.
Well, you have to watch this one in context, right? Yeah. And it's not, this is, like you said, this isn't one that you will rewatch because it's not a standalone episode.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. It is very much like the prequel to the season finale. Because these relationships are going to be so important in the finale, I think. Because what we want to see is a happy ending, right? And a happy ending means everybody back together again in the mansion.
Yeah.
And it was really a heartbreaking episode, because we start in this great place where everybody is so happy, and Scrooge is talking about, like, wow, I couldn't have imagined a year ago, you know, being where we are now. And you feel that, and you're like, yeah, no, I mean, like, this, like, and it's appropriate that we're basically in the, like, the 1 year anniversary was earlier this week, from the series premiere. And so, you know, like, we've kind of gone on this journey along with them, where it's like, now we're looking at it and we're going, like, wow, you know, we also didn't have DuckTales. We had the classic series, but we didn't have this new series a year ago. And now here we are. And we've grown to love these new versions of the characters and the relationships. And we had the Great Agent 22 episode where Scrooge and Webby grow together. And then to have him... And I think that's where Scrooge makes the biggest mistake.
That was so hurtful.
Yeah, when he lashes really out at Webby and says what he says, I think that's when he loses everybody. Yep. That's when they're like, oh, if people are just disposable to you, then no wonder you didn't try and rescue Della and all of that sort of thing. So
that was a good moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've talked through the episode itself. What are some of the behind the scenes and references and such?
Well, right off the bat, there is a reference to the theme song where they're talking about race cars, lasers, aeroplanes. And if you haven't watched the Comic-Con footage yet, You got to track it down. I think it's on YouTube. You could probably watch the whole panel, the DuckTales panel, on there. But there's just a great kind of running gag about aeroplanes and how every time they say airplane on DuckTales, it's always aeroplanes.
Nice.
So I don't know if that's actually true or not. I think it was just Ben Schwartz being funny, but it was a great bit. So go track that down. At the beginning, Scrooge says they're going to go look for the Maltese MacGuffin.
Mm-hmm.
Which is definitely a reference to the Maltese Falcon, but also just the term MacGuffin is really funny because that's the, you know, the MacGuffin is the thing that you're chasing after,
yeah,
in a TV show or such. So that to have it the actual object named MacGuffin is funny. Very slight Darkwing Duck cameo in this episode, which we kind of got a tease of when we saw the sizzle reel,
yeah,
at Comic-Con. But we saw it here again, and it's the end credits to the Darkwing Duck show.
Yeah,
and with like the music is exactly the same.
I love that they get around showing us more Darkwing Duck by having the TV be broken.
Yeah.
So
and it's just repeating the end credits on,
yeah,
on loop.
Yeah. So we get that moment of the kids strapped in and they're just like, oh, won't stop. And then it starts.
And then they embrace it.
Yeah. They all just kind of start singing along with it.
And what's really funny is Darkwing is just a still image of Darkwing in behind the credits.
Yeah.
And he's playing a saxophone.
Yeah. So good.
Now, all of the credits are made up credits and they have funny little titles. And I don't know if any of those names mean anything at all.
Yeah, I meant to go back and read them, and I didn't.
And I did, and I didn't recognize anything. I tried Googling some, and nothing came up, except the mimeograph operator, which I just think is funny because mimeograph is so old, is Don Pato, which is, I think, the Spanish name for Donald Duck.
Okay. Nice.
But other than that, I didn't recognize anything. There's a Jurassic Park reference. I'm surprised you didn't put this in your top three. When they said, you're the richest duck in the world, how come you didn't save it? And then he says, I spared no expense.
Oh, yeah.
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 I mean, I don't know if it's a direct reference, but I mean, there have been a couple of Jurassic Park quotes in this season. So
that's true.
I think
that's true. I did definitely clock that in the episode, but I didn't necessarily think that it was a Jurassic Park reference because that's just
right.
That's a common phrase, but it's, I mean, it's not commonly used anymore, but that was a common phrase, and Jurassic Park just made it quotable,
right? Yeah,
by virtue of the fact that he says it like five times in the movie. But
Speaking about common catchphrases, the entire cast said, wait, what, in this episode, furthering my theory that I have to go back and watch the whole season to see if they say what, wait, what, in every single episode.
Okay,
last, the very, very last frame of this episode,
yeah,
Scrooge is sulking in his study, and it does this kind of, it pans out to give a wide shot of the room that he's sitting in. This is an exact replica. Everything is exactly the same as the very, very first panel we ever see of Scrooge McDuck in Donald Duck comics in the story Christmas on Bear Mountain.
Wow.
Yep. It's him sulking. It's the exact same image. They took that panel and animated it. Very cool.
That is awesome. That's really cool that they did that. Attention to detail. Cool.
Some more attention to detail is when they are showing Donald Duck in the flashbacks, mm-hmm, like when he's with the baby carriage with the eggs in it. He's wearing his classic blue, mm-hmm, outfit with the red bow tie.
Yeah, the one that got trashed in the first episode.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one. And I have a couple of things that I meant to say in the last few episodes.
Okay.
That I kind of want to say now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so going back to the last episode, the secrets of Castle McDuck, when they first arrived at the castle, Fergus McDuck says, jettison that jalopy from my driveway this instant, you deadbeat. You remember that line?
Yes.
That's exactly the first thing that Uncle Scrooge says to Donald Duck in the first episode, because Donald Duck goes for a job interview and has to drop off the nephews at Uncle Scrooge's, and Scrooge and Launchpad pull up behind him, and he gets out of the car and he says, "Jettison that jalopy from my driveway this instant, you deadbeat."
Yeah.
So I love that parallel there. And then if you go back another episode, the Sky Pirates episode, I forgot that Tad Stones had mentioned this in the interview, that there's a reference to the B players at one point, the crew of the Iron Vulture or of the Sky Pirates.
Yes.
Refer to themselves as the B players. And that's a Tailspin reference, because originally Tailspin was called the B players and it was a show about baseball. And then it got completely revamped into what we know it as today, Tailspin. So yeah. A very obscure reference, but just wanted to put that in there. We might have to have one of these episodes during the break where we talk about all the things that we missed in the past episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. Go back and fill in some of the gaps and revisit some previous mysteries and see if we can solve some stuff leading into season two for sure. Cool. Well, if that's all of the references and Easter eggs, let's check in with our junior woodchucks and see what they thought about this episode.
Hello, this is another Junior Woodchuck podcast, and it's almost the season finale. I'm really excited about this, right?
Next episode is the season finale!
This one is called Last Crash of the Sun Chaser.
Sun Chaser!
Milo, what was your favorite part?
I gotta think about that.
My favorite part was when they actually learned about Della Duck.
My favorite part was when Scrooge was driving the plane and then it crashed. And then Launchpad came up and was like, "If we crashed, then why are we still in the air?"
That should be the funniest part. What's your saddest part? Because there's a lot of sad parts in this one. Right, Milo?
And when he like spended a lot of his money and stuff.
My saddest part was when everybody left Scrooge McDuck,
including his butler. My saddest part was when Della Duck went into a cosmic storm and then I'm pretty sure got killed.
Well, I think in the next episode we're gonna find out what happens to Della Duck.
We already know what's happened.
No, like, if they're going to find her.
10 minutes later, when we watch the episode, they found her! They found her!
I don't think that actually will happen. I don't know. What's your funniest part, Milo?
I have no funniest part.
My funniest part was when Launchpad was their ship was falling, and then, their airplane was falling, and then they landed right side up and without crashing, and then Launchpad was like, "Well, that was weird." And then he accidentally presses the lever, which makes it go, and then he bumps into a mountain. Then Launchpad's like, "There we go."
Actually, my funniest part was when they're watching the Darkwing Duck video, and then Huey starts to
sing
it, and then later on Dewey and Webby started to sing later on,
and then Dewey said, "I can't take it anymore." Leave that part in, and I think this is all. I think this is the best episode we've seen yet.
Let it rip and signing out.
I know, Milo's talking about Beyblades. I'm signing
Three,
out.
3, 2, 1, let it rip.
Okay, it's time once again for our lucky dime rating.
Yeah.
Mike, out of 5 lucky dimes, where do you place this one?
Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to give it 5 because it is a really great episode, and obviously it's the culmination of everything over the season with the Spear of Selene. But what you said earlier, I agree with, which is that like it's sort of in context, and I think on a first watch, it's a phenomenal episode. I just don't think that this is as enjoyable as some of the other episodes of the season on multiple viewings, because I just have no inclination to really go back and rewatch it. Maybe just like check out specific parts to see if we can tease out some extra information. But in terms of watching the entire episode from start to finish, it's not really, I don't know, it's probably going to be a little bit heretical because I think that people out there are going nuts for this episode.
Yeah, but is it just the last like 3 minutes of the show?
And I think that's it, with? Right?
Because you could rewatch the rest of the plane part of it when they're teetering on the plane. No, there's a lot of comedy.
But that's the thing, is that like all the stuff that happens on the plane, it's very drawn out to get to the end of the episode.
Yeah,
and to me, it almost feels like it's a very long walk to get there. And some of it is a little bit like some of it goes on a little bit long and is a little bit repetitive. I really like the idea of Dewey going to these extremes, but we have one sequence where it happens and then we take a break from it and then it happens again. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like there's just stuff like that. So I'm going to say 4 dimes out of 5 for this one, because I do think that it is a great episode and it obviously represents some really great storytelling in the overall season. But if I'm putting it up against some of the other episodes that I've given 5 dimes to, in particular last week's episode, although being very important to the overall story and character development of our characters, I feel like that is a very rewatchable episode, okay, just for all of like the small pieces, of, you know, like the background art and the animation, and just like there's so many aspects to the secrets of Castle McDuck that I feel like I can go back and revisit that episode a lot, but this one I just don't feel that, so that's I'll put it at 4.
Okay, well, I am going to disagree with you.
Okay.
and go right for 5, because if an episode can, you know, if an episode can emotionally affect you, especially in a kid's cartoon, mm-hmm, so well, it's got to have all of its cylinders firing, right? It has everything you want in it. It's got the good story. It's got some great animation, the humor, the twist, the big reveal. All of it worked so well together. Yes, maybe it was a little bit drawn out, but with a purpose. I don't, mm-hmm, think that it was drawn out without a purpose. I don't know. I think that it all worked really, really well. So I'm going to give it a solid 5.
Cool.
Top marks.
Cool. How are our episode rankings doing? I want to see who's going up against this episode, because they're in for a fight, whoever's left standing from last week.
Well, not surprising at all. Secrets of Castle McDuck.
Yeah.
It took the top spot this week, and yeah, I kind of thought it was going to. It did way better than Beware the Buddy System, because other ones that have beat Buddy System before have just kind of barely beat them, but this one, yeah, quite a bit. So Secrets of Castle McDuck got 41% of the votes. Beware the Buddy System got 30%. The other Bin of Scrooge McDuck, 17%. And in last place, I was a little surprised at this, the Golden Lagoon, at 12%. So that's the one that has to go. I was hoping that one would stay in over the other bin, but unfortunately not the popular choice, so it, mm-hmm, is out. And we're going to replace that one with this episode, and based on what I've seen already, the I think there's still a little bit of time left on this week's poll, because we've caught up now. We're in for a big shock, mm-hmm, next week. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. Well, I again, as always, speaking of the next episode, our final episode of season one, The Shadow War. Here's the description. Magicka Dispel is close to exacting revenge on Scrooge, so the family races against time to plan a dangerous rescue mission to save Scrooge and the city. Don Cheadle from Avengers Infinity War guest stars as Donald Duck's intelligible voice as a result of an inventive voice box. Reprising their roles are Lin-Manuel Miranda as Fenton Crackshell Cabrera, a.k.a. Gizmo Duck, Catherine Tate as Magicka Dispel, and Kimiko Glenn as Lena. We've basically got everybody from the main cast, like all of the main recurring characters, will be back in this one. Everybody's here. And then, of course, we've got this great stunt casting for the season finale of Don Cheadle as Donald Duck. I love it because I love the way that they do stuff like this, where Disney goes, okay, you're contractually obligated to work for us already because of something else. Because they do this all the time.
Yeah.
We've got you in a voice recording booth for something, or in a studio, right? So I have no doubt that Don Cheadle was in the studio to do ADR for Infinity War or maybe for the next Avengers or something. Like, he was in the studio already, and they went, hey, are you interested in being the voice of Donald Duck? And it was like, cool, yeah, you're going to be here anyways, so you're going to do your ADR, and then you're going to come over here, and you're going to record two episodes of DuckTales. So they can get great voices to come in and do stuff like that. Because you see it a lot where an actor who is a live-action performer for a movie or one of the Disney Channel shows is then in the animated properties because, well, they're already there. We're already working with this person. We know that they're, you know, that we have an understanding of their talent, their range. So it's easy to cast them in these other roles. But it's just one of those things where, like, once you're in with Disney, you're in. Like, it's you basically have jobs for life as long as you don't screw it up. So
I wonder how much Donald's going to be used in this next episode with his intelligible voice, because I know that every time that Donald Duck is on, Milo especially can't understand a word he's saying.
Well, and I think that's exactly why they did this. So
yeah, for sure, absolutely.
This reminds me a lot of, and it's funny because it's a 10-year anniversary of the Clone Wars movie, and there was a very controversial character in the Clone Wars movie called Zero the Hutt, who spoke in Basic, which is the Star Wars version of English, right? And the reason why Zero speaks in Basic is because Clone Wars is a kids show first.
You can't have subtitles.
And we don't want to have a character giving exposition. And because Zero has a lot of dialogue in one. The movie is four episodes put together. Yeah. It's not actually a movie, but it was released as a movie in the theater. And there is one, the third episode in the movie is basically all Zero and Padme, and he does a lot of talking, and so they give him a pretty he's got a very silly voice, and he speaks English the whole time so that they could avoid subtitles. So I think this is a very similar thing where it's like, okay, Donald is playing a very large role in the rescue of Scrooge because the boys don't really know what they're doing. They've got Gizmo Duck in this one, but Gizmo Duck is also new to the heroing thing. We need a seasoned adventurer, and who else is around but Donald Duck? And I think that's going to be really cool because I think we're going to get to see Donald in his element, which we haven't seen very much of this season. We've seen like little bits and flashes of it, like in the Atlantis episode. We got to see a good couple moments of Donald showing off his ability to think on his feet. But I think in this one we're going to get to see a lot of that.
Yeah, I think so too.
I'm very excited for the season finale.
Okay, one more observation just before we call it.
Yep.
There is no voice actor listed in this description here for Della.
Yes.
And you can probably bet that Della will get a celebrity voice as well.
I think so.
So this tells me that people are wondering if she's going to be in this episode or not. Mm-hmm. Probably not. I'm guessing, and Frank, if you're out there listening, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that they probably wanted to tie up the Della story by the end of the season. But once they found out that they were renewed for a second season, making the hunt for Della be the entire second season
is
probably a good thing to do. So we may get a hint of her at the very end, or they get some major clue as to, like, you know, over the radio, some sort of staticky voice, and Scrooge recognizes it as Della or something like that. And then that sets the stage for the next season as they look for her.
Yeah.
So, I'm guessing that she's not going to be in this one. A lot of people are hoping it, but
if we do get Della or a hint of Della, I think it would just be a visual, probably, or something to indicate that she's still out there, and that they've got to go rescue her. Similar to Ant-Man, if you've seen the first Ant-Man movie, and now we know how that plays out. So hopefully we can have a similar happy ending here. followed by
happy ending.
Well, it was a happy ending, and then if you stayed after the credits, it gets a little bit less happy. But don't worry, they'll fix it all.
Right.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you guys for listening, and of course, we will see you on the next one for our season finale.
Mm-hmm. See you next afternoon.
Don't forget, you can stay up to date with all the latest DuckTales news by heading to cartoonafternoon.com, where you'll find everything DuckTales and Disney cartoon related for the shows that we cover. You can also follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/tuneafternoon, as well as on Twitter at tuneafternoon. And if you want to send us an email, you can do that by sending us an email at tuneafternoon@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter. You can find me at Curtis Findlay, KurtisFindlay.
And I'm on Twitter at ArkWulf, ArkWulf. And don't forget that we are part of the Thunderquack Podcast Network. Head to thunderquack.com to check out all the other great podcasts in our network. And if you want to support us, you can do that two ways. First, by heading to store.thunderquack.com to pick up some merch. Or you can head to patreon.com/thunderquack. And pledge your support over there. It's a monthly pledge. As low as $1 a month gets you access to the exclusive Thunderquack podcast, as well as the Thunderquack Patreon Facebook group. So that's patreon.com/thunderquack. And thank you to everybody who does support us over there.
Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon is not associated with the Disney Company in any way. All characters, titles, music, and everything is all copyright of their respective owners. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time on Disney Dad's Cartoon Afternoon.